So it sounds like you're painting a pretty dire picture here. You claim 60% of American freshmen are taking out student loans, and for many, it will take 30 years or more to pay those off. So how did you go about taking a comprehensive look at what some are calling the student loan crisis?
Well, we're doing as much research as we can and just talking to people that we meet, whether it's, you know, online or in person or through different advocacy groups and resources that we have. And the national numbers are really staggering and growing. As a nation now, we have $1.2 trillion of student loan debt, and the average balance is nearly $27,000. There are more and more borrowers struggling to repay their loans. And we really wanted to look at what this debt's keeping people from. You know, we talk to people that say, I'm in a job that I hate, I can't get married, I can't move out of state, and all these things that these loan totals are keeping our students from doing. And the real kicker is that, you know, the government's profiting off of it. In record numbers. And so it's the students that are having to figure out what to do with this burden that's upon their backs.
And speaking of government profits, we know that in July, the interest rates on loans backed by the federal government doubled to nearly 7%. Tell us how that factors in to the issue at hand and what role you see the government really playing in all this.
Yeah, those interest rates doubled. And then there was also this bipartisan measure that was passed this summer to cap interest rates, which a lot of people have described as a good first step. When that happened, people in Congress and senators kind of clapped and patted themselves on the back. But the reality is, in 5 or 10 years, even with that number capped, it's capped above 8%. So as a nation, we're saying, hey, that's okay for us to do as a nation philosophically, to charge our students this huge interest rate to get an education. We're saying it's okay, you know, whatever it is, whatever it costs to get an education in our society, we'll finance it. And we'll pay for it for the next 10, 20, or 30 years without asking questions. And I think we need to stand up and say, hey, what is the cost of higher education? What is the value of a diploma? And are we willing to accept that anymore in this nation?
And meanwhile, state appropriations for public universities, at least here in Illinois, we've seen those shrink, and that means rising tuitions year after year. UIS is one example of that. What role do the public universities play when it comes to the student debt problem as well?
Yeah, and I think you put it really well. I mean, it is the shrinking appropriations, and here in Illinois, the crisis status of the state that's affecting this a lot and forcing these universities to raise their prices. So on one hand, we're seeing record tuition rates, but on another hand, what else are universities supposed to do in the system? But the bottom line is it gets passed down to the students. MAP grants and Pell grants used to cover a huge amount of tuition for students, and now they only cover a fraction of the cost. So students have very little choice but to finance their education at the interest rates that are out there. Illinois right now, we're seeing something I just attended at the Urbana campus. They were having a student debt awareness week, and one of our state reps, Naomi Jacobson, has introduced a resolution in the Illinois State Senate to return bankruptcy protections to student loans, which is an interesting idea and something that's probably worth discussing.
You wrote an article back in September for the Illinois Times about Illinois students specifically, as you called it, being crushed by student debt. And you spoke with WUIS's Sean Crawford about that. That interview is on WUIS.org for those who missed it or want a refresher. And so I won't ask you too much about this, but maybe you can tell us about maybe one of the more compelling cases you came across while researching for that article.
Cool. Yeah, I will. And since then, too, we've found a couple even more compelling stories that I wish that I had included. So it's neat to continually be able to revisit this topic. I just learned about a student from Bloomington in 2007, I think, who actually committed suicide over the stress from his student loans. And as his mother was preparing for his funeral, she had debt collectors calling her, trying to get repayment options figured out. The woman featured in the article, her name was Angie, and I like her story because it's really a typical one. She borrowed a total of $26,000, $27,000 starting in 1994, which incidentally is the national average. And at the beginning, she was in pursuit of a psych degree and the payments were fine. But when she graduated, she couldn't find a job in her field that paid enough for her to make the minimum payments. So she started going into deferrals and defaults. And when that happens, you're putting off your payment. But the problem is the interest keeps accruing. So before she knew it, you know, she thought she was fine because she was in this deferral or default or forbearance status. But her $26,000 loan ballooned and almost doubled to, I think, $47,000. And now here she is, a middle-aged woman working a job, incidentally, that does not require a college degree. And she still isn't making enough money to pay off her loan. So even in a repayment program, she'll be stuck with this loan balance until I think her program will forgive it after 20 or 30 years. And so that's the story that we're seeing.
In your quest to finish this movie and in the work that you've done already for it, are you finding any solutions out there?
You know, I think right now, sadly, the answer seems to be maybe consider going to a junior college, go to a public university, work while you're doing it, save as much money as you can beforehand, and take out as few loans as humanly possible and have a plan to get a good paying job in a field that you like and pay them off right away. But we're still in research mode here, so I don't think we have all the answers. And I think the role of a good documentarian is to ask a lot of questions and to present issues and not really feel like we've got to present answers.
You know, we've talked about the role that universities and that the government plays in all of this, but have you found anyone yet who maybe blames the problem on young people going into school, saying that it's a problem of their own fiscal mismanagement, perhaps, or teens enrolling in college who should instead maybe be going to a trade school or finding another skill set to capitalize on?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of blame to go around. And I think that as young people, as students, we all make mistakes. I don't think that every loan out there is definitely something that I would say is a mistake, is something that you must not do. But it's the level at which we do it and the fact that we're buying into the system at this kind of huge, unwatched level. And so you can say, yeah, students are just signing up for this and it's fine. But it's the fact that it's what's expected of them. And in a lot of cases, students don't have all the information given to them. We're not telling them what the job market's really like. We're not telling them that if you go into work as an educator in a lot of states, or if you're studying to be an educator, there might not be teaching jobs available when you get out in your state.
Looking at making this movie a reality here, you guys are in one fundraising phase anyway, with a project that's kind of like Kickstarter, not Kickstarter exactly. Explain to us what you're doing and how that's going so far.
Well, Indiegogo is basically a Kickstarter for independent filmmakers. It was created by filmmakers for filmmakers. They have other projects on it now. And what we're trying to do is crowdfund an initial $15,000 to finance a short version of this documentary that we can make over the next 6 months in order to finance a feature-length documentary. And the good thing about this is that we've partnered with a group that's sponsoring us fiscally. It's Chicago Filmmakers. They're a very well-known independent film organization. And through their partnership, we can accept all donations tax-deductible. And so we've got this $15,000 goal, but the important thing to remember is, first of all, every donation's tax-deductible. Second of all, there's great perks. If you go on there, you can sign up at different levels, so you'll get a digital copy of the film and a bunch of different kind of freebies that we offer as a thanks for your donation. So having a full budget for the short film would be a great first step. And you know, I think it's an important issue that needs to be discussed more, and that's what we want to do, is put it out there for discussion in movie theaters, at independent film festivals, on DVD, and hopefully on college campuses.